Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We have a very special broadcast lined up in just a few moments. A very dear friend from New York is going to be calling in. We're talking about Paul and Kathy Hollop. And Kathy and Paul are serving as pastors of a home fellowship in New York. And we're going to talk a little bit about it. But Kathy has such a very unique understanding of what happened in the 1960s. Right here in the United States of America, you know, that infamous time when our government in the 1960s, early 1960s, began to make war with God. There was an outpouring of something in our nation, and it wasn't good. We know it as Woodstock. And some very important things happened during those days that many American citizens are unaware of and really don't know how to get behind the scenes and battle with the spiritual principalities and powers, not really sure where they're shooting at, if you will. And how many of you know it's super important to know where we need to target our warfare? And so this broadcast really is for the answers. This broadcast is really for people that know how to put on the armor of God and actually have a courage about them and a confidence about them to go to the camp of the enemy and begin to pull down strongholds and do spiritual warfare. I will admit it's not the most happy thing in the world, except when you know you're on the right side of the day. We don't like it when the enemy attacks us, but when we go on the attack, when we do the bidding of the Lord, we're going to see great success, and the battle is going to be very, very victorious for those who are standing on the right side of this day. But again, there are things that happened in the United States of America in the 1960s, and particularly in a place called Woodstock. And our dear sister Kathy is going to be sharing much about that in just a moment or so. But before we get on into the broadcast, I want to welcome everybody on YouTube. I will basically be alongside of Patricia. She'll be joining me in just a little bit. We will be listening to Kathy very intently. We want to hear what she has to share. I know Patricia also has some very important things that she wants to share on today's radio broadcast. And I would like to just, you know, start out by saying that there is a passage of scripture that I would encourage you to read some point, you know, as you go throughout the day, tomorrow, whenever. But it's the story of a great king by the name of Josiah. And Josiah comes on the scene at a time when Israel is rank with idolatry and altars of idolatry and groves and all kinds of infamous statues and places of worship, but not to the one true God, Yahweh, but to the gods of the sun, the moon, the stars, the gods of foreign nations, the god Baal. And these altars of idolatry were erected throughout the land, and they attracted demonic presence. And that's why when Josiah heard the word of the Lord and he saw this witchcraft, this idolatry being participated in and practiced by the people of Israel, he understood why they were in such a mess. And it turns out today that our land is riddled with idolatry, and those altars have never been removed since the 1960s. And those very altars that are covered with blood as bloody ritualistic sacrifices are continuing to draw the demonic principality and power within our nation. And that's why there seems to be no turning back, no way to, you know, get back to where we once were as a nation, truly, when the gospel of Christ was exalted. So without further ado, I want to bring into the studio, first of all, my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. And so, Patricia, welcome to the broadcast. I know you're upstairs, and it's good to see you today. And let me also begin right now to bring Kathy into this broadcast, and I'm going to have to put on my headphones and say together, good morning, Sister Kathy, are you there? Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine, and yes, I am here.
Excellent. And Patricia, can you hear?
I can hear perfectly, and good morning to you.
Yes, very, very good. All right, that's exactly where we need to be. So, Kathy, because your timing and being in New York, you and I had this conversation once before, and it was absolutely fascinating, things that God showed you from Woodstock. And I would just like for you to begin, and Patricia and I are going to stand by, and then Patricia, when it's time, we'll bring in the information that you have. But Kathy, let's go right to the source here. Let's go right to a place called Woodstock in New York, and go ahead and share with our listening audience today what needs to be shared.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Vincent. My husband and my son and I went up to Calcoon, New York on vacation, and we passed by a place called Bethel Woods. Now, I didn't understand what took place back then. I was a teenager, but I liked Elvis Presley. I really wasn't into the Woodstock movement or the tie-dye clothes or the peace symbol or the rebellion that everyone seemed to be engaging in. All I remember from that time was seeing people in tie-dye clothes on the TV, and they had peace signs, and they were burning draft cards, and they were inviting people to go to this event. And I knew somehow there were rock musicians tied into the mix, but I didn't totally understand what it was all about. So while we were on vacation in Calcoon, New York, the Lord led us to go to Bethel Woods Museum to see what actually took place there. As we walked into the museum, they showed a clip of the people. The rain was coming down on them, and they were Hello?
Yep, you're doing
the
great.
The rain was pouring, and they were shaking their fists at God, screaming, "No rain, no rain, no rain." They were looking up to heaven, shaking their fists. Okay. Hello?
Yes, Kathy,
Hello?
you're doing fine. Yes.
All right. My son Brian perceived that God the Father was weeping because they were rebelling against him. So it rained for the whole 3 days back in August, and it was the 8th month and the 15th day that this thing started, all right, August 15th, 16th, and 17th of 1969. All right, well, as we walked through the museum, we realized they had buses with zodiac symbols and Buddhas in the windshield on the dashboard, and they had Jimi Hendrix. They showed a clip of Jimi Hendrix, and he was playing his guitar and singing Voodoo Child, and we had to cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus because the demonic was just pouring off the screen. And all the people in the audience in this clip were bouncing their little children on their shoulders to Voodoo Child, okay? If we look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel said to Saul, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry." Okay? So the main theme of that was rebel against your parents, rebel against the government, rebel against God, rebel against his commandments, rebel against morality, rebel against anything decent and moral and good, and do whatever you want to do. And that was the theme. The general theme was rebellion, witchcraft, and Voodoo Child. Jimi Hendrix was playing voodoo music. Santana was playing Black Magic Woman, and all of this demonic music was rolling around. And as you consider what happened, there were representatives, teenagers, from every state in the United States. Every single state in the United States was represented at that Woodstock Festival, okay? So while they were there, some Mideastern guru set altars to his fake gods. There were altars to trees, altars set up to pagan gods, goddesses. The whole area was full of stone altars to fake gods. They were worshiping anything from stalks of wood. Even the name Woodstock is demonic. In Jeremiah chapter, Jeremiah, he says, "Should I call a stalk of wood my father?" Okay. So what is a stalk of wood? It's a wooden stalk that people were worshiping in Jeremiah chapter 2. So even the name Woodstock is demonic because it indicates people worshiping trees, stalks of wood, nature instead of God. Okay. Now, originally, the festival was supposed to be held in a town called Woodstock. But, of course, the main idea of these Satanists and witches was to complain about it being held there and swing it into Bethel. The word Bethel means house of God. Okay. So the word Bethel means the house of God. Now, it's very interesting when we look at the Old Testament and we look at 1 Kings chapter 12. Jeroboam defiled Bethel in Israel. He made two golden calves and he set them up in Bethel and in Dan. So people would come and worship golden calves instead of God. He set up these golden calves in the 8th month, the 15th day of the month, Israeli time, okay? The 8th month, the 15th day. Woodstock, New York, when they swung it into Bethel, meaning the house of God, they defiled the house of God in America the 8th month, the 15th day by our calendar. Coincidence? No. These Satanists and witches were determined to bring the wrath of God on our nation, okay? They wanted to totally defile Bethel, meaning the house of God, by worshiping other gods in a place called the house of God, Bethel, so that the wrath of God would come on this nation, okay? So these people, when they came there, from every state. They worship trees, they worship nature, they worship the sun, moon, and stars, they worship the Mideastern gods and goddesses, they set altars to other gods, and they opened the portal. Bethel is a portal. When Jacob saw the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder, it was in Bethel. Bethel is a portal. It means the house of God, and it's a portal to heaven. When they worshiped other gods in God's house, They sealed a portal to heaven and opened a portal to hell. And all the demonic spirits of lust, perversion, there were orgies going on, there was filthy drugs, alcoholism, everything demonic was let loose during that festival, okay? All of the demonic was opened up to America at that time.
Absolutely
so
amazing.
So if you look at it, once heaven's portal is closed and a door to hell is opened, all the demonic comes and infested those people that were there at that Woodstock thing in Bethel with demons of alcoholism, drug addiction, lust, perversion, rebellion, witchcraft, wizardry, Satanism. All of it was loosed on those people. And they, when they went back to their states, all those demons of drug addiction, alcoholism, and lust, and all of it was let loose. In every state, it broke out everywhere because they brought the demonic back with them when they went home.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, this is a, you know, this is record-breaking in many ways. And Patricia, you probably want to weigh in on this as well. To think that there was an act that was a purposeful act with intention back in the 1960s, you would wonder why the church during all of this generation since that time really hasn't centered or targeted that as a time of altars being built that needed to be destroyed, because things have, I've never heard this before.
Well, people don't realize it. It was by revelation of God, because the night after we went to that museum, my Bible fell open to Jeremiah, and I start reading wherever my Bible falls open. I started to read Jeremiah 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I started to cry when I read about people going into the house of God and defiling his house by worshiping other gods. So I started weeping at that, and then the next night my Bible fell open to the same place again, and he said, now look up the word Bethel. And when I saw that Bethel meant house of God, I realized that they went into his house in the spiritual realm and worshipped other gods in his house and defiled his house. So it was actually a national sin that they did, because the whole nation was involved in it. There were representatives from every state in our nation that went there and did this thing.
Okay, so Patricia, you've been involved in deliverance ministry. You've dealt with the issues of the occult, witchcraft, New Age, Satanism, all these different issues. This is a pretty powerful reality, and I just want to focus in on it again just for a moment, that there was a moment in the history of this country in the 1960s where a purposeful and an intentional act to bring defilement upon the nation, which is in a concordance with what the left is doing, what we see happening with socialistic and communistic movements within our nation. These are the way that you take over a nation without a shot fired. What are your thoughts, Patricia, just real quick to this conversation that we're having with Kathy right now?
Well, first of all, I would like to mention that there are people interviewing or viewing right now, I should say, and they're saying the program is excellent, very good. They're very interested in knowing about more of this kind of terrible outpouring of pagantry in our nation right now. And I believe with all my heart it started at that time in which Kathy is mentioning. And that opened the door to pagantry into this nation, a renewing of pagantry of old coming together and coming into a bonfire to bring much disillusionment and horror. Yes, portals have been opened. There's no doubt about it. It drew me in also at a certain time in my life in which I believed with all my heart that it was the right thing to do. It was the work of metaphysics, New Age, but it had some of the same properties to it. Today, it is working in such a severe way, and it has accumulated so much power that now there are witch covenants that are working against Trump. They are anti-Trump. They are anti-Brett Kavanaugh. They are coming against the Supreme judges and doing seances and committing all kinds of, you know, just horrific witchcraft kind of terror upon this land in their movements. And what had happened is that this mounting of pagantry has become a real, true thrust of the devil himself. Satan is being absolutely brought forward with his cohorts, taking many minds at this time. It tells us in the Word of God that in these days, there will be a greater thrust of evil than ever, even from the foundations of the earth. And this thrusting started, I believe, exactly the way Kathy said.
Amen. Amen. Kathy, your comments.
I believe that's true, but we need to understand a few things. We need to understand that when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says he destroyed the works of the devil, okay? He showed forth the principalities and powers and rulers openly, and he had victory over them. He had victory over the grave. He had victory over death. He had victory over everything. And we need to understand, too, that God made everything seen and unseen. So God made all the angels. Some of them chose to fall. Satan was a fallen angel. He rebelled. So actually, these powers and these principalities are subject to Jesus Christ. You look at the person that had a legion, okay, and those demons had to flee. When Jesus cast them out, they had to go.
Well,
we have power. The Bible says God has given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy so he cannot harm us, okay? So if we believe that and we believe God has given us power to bind the enemy and to loose his angels and his heavenly host to help us, we can bind and loose. We have that power. It has been given to us. We have authority in the name of Jesus, and we have the power to stand against this demonic realm and pull down the strongholds. We have that power. As sons of God, we have power. We are not powerless. God is not in heaven wringing his hands and saying, oh, woe is me, look at this evil. He's saying to us, be of good cheer, I've overcome it. You know, and truly through Jesus Christ, through his word, through his authority and power, we can overcome. I was in Nairobi, Kenya. I'm just going to get off on a little thing, but not a big thing. I was in Nairobi, Kenya, and a demonized woman that was 4 foot high was chasing people through the streets. Okay. And she was jumping on them and digging her nails into them. And she came toward me, and I said, in the name of Jesus, and every demon in her had to fall on the ground, and there was a legion in this woman. Every demon in this woman had to bow to Jesus and fall on that ground and couldn't move. Then when she started creeping, God said it was legion, and I was able to cast the whole legion out of her, lead her to Christ, see her delivered, saved, delivered, and restored.
Hallelujah.
By the power
Glory.
Of God.
Glory,
so
you know
we
why.
We need to understand. Hmm?
Just real quickly, and I want to get back into that understanding, but I just want to confirm what you're saying. And just for our listeners out there, we've all heard we have this power. We've all heard we've had the authority, the privilege, the right. But I just want to confirm in Psalm 149, verse 5, it says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance. Now, the word there, the key is execute, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. So we may have the power, but if we don't execute the power, and I'm looking and listening right now about what's happened in Woodstock in the 1960s to the altars of idolatry that have been covered with the blood of the, you know, the innocents. And I would imagine that abortion is connected to a blood ritualistic sacrifice that came upon those altars that were built in the 1960s, and then going to war where 50,000 or so of our young men were killed over in a war that meant nothing, basically. So something very infamous began to happen. But if the church doesn't execute the authority, execute the power, execute what we have been given, then those altars remain. The blood continues to be poured out upon them, empowering the demonic. Patricia, am I close to this? Kathy, am I close to this?
Yep. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
And faith without works is dead.
Okay. All right.
And from erroneous teachings of the church, we, the church, have found ourselves in a position of not having belief in the faith in which we have been granted by the word of God. He has granted us the power to execute that judgment. He has already given us the victory. It's already there. But people's faith cannot thrust far enough to believe. And that's where faith without works is dead. So we have a church that's dead and doesn't have the understanding necessary to rise up to believe God for all that he has granted us. I praise God for Kathy. She's one of the few I know that really believe in the word of God, and that has been granted to us to set the captives free and to bind Satan and his cohorts, and that they must listen not to us, but to that name Jesus Christ. And I praise God that she understands that. Now, I wish the multitude of Christians would rise up, be the true army of God, put on their armor, and let's go to work.
Amen. Amen. Well said.
That's,
and Kathy,
right.
Obviously, there's a scripture in Ezekiel 37 about speaking to Israel as dead, dry bones in a valley. But the Spirit of God is to move through the prophet Ezekiel, and he's to prophesy to those dead, dry bones. And the body of Christ today is the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh. And Patricia said it's kind of dead. So we need to have a spiritual renewal, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit within the body, in the ecclesia of Christ, to rise up. And we need to deal with those altars of idolatry that were built and erected in the 1960s during Woodstock. We need to bring exposure to that and then have the body of Christ together globally, nationally, to really go to war against that and then put an end to the bloody ritual sacrifices if we're ever going to see the glory of God manifested. Because if it's not through this kind of warfare, then it's going to come through catastrophe, devastation, judgment, wrath, to just absolutely obliterate and destroy the works of the devil, because ultimately the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And by the way, does this not coincide with the life of an individual who comes to faith in Christ? They're born again, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in their lives, but if they don't go back and deal with the demonic strongholds of the generational bloodline curses, they may live out their days in this awkwardness and this struggle because they never overthrew the ancient bloodline curses in their own family line.
That's true. The iniquities and the transgressions of their ancestors, they need to break them by the blood of Jesus and be free from them. You know, if you're listening and you find you're doing something that you absolutely hate and you can't stop, there's demons that need to be broken off your family tree. If you find you hate something, you hate what you're doing, and you have no strength to stop it, there are demonic strongholds there that need to be broken.
Now, Kathy,
by the blood of Jesus.
Yes, by the blood of Jesus. And I want to get out of the way, and I want, Kathy, because you're our guest today, I want you to get as much out as you can. But we see in Hollywood the blasphemy that comes out of Hollywood. And again, we're not being dramatic.
Terrible.
It's horrible. It's absolutely unrighteously wicked, purposefully. And yet we just walk in the midst of it, and yet we never go to those altars in Hollywood and overthrow them. What I love so much, and Patricia and I go back and forth on this, I love King Josiah because when he came to power, he amassed all of his authority and power, and he went to execute the judgment upon the things in the land that were contrary to the mind and will of Yahweh God. And yet we live as Christians having this great kingdom authority and power, and yet we let these places like Hollywood and Woodstock and all the other institutions and altars that are being built around the world to just have their demonic frenzy. And then we just, as like really nice people, continue to walk through it, but we're getting sick. We're dead, dry bones. So how do we bring about a intercessor intervention to this moment to really go to war with these things? Because, I mean, what are we doing just letting these things exist?
Well, what God had me do was to get some people together, okay? And we rented a house, my husband and I, up in that area of Woodstock. And we got brethren together to walk on that ground for 7 days. We walked the ground repenting for what took place there, crying out to God to close the portal, to send these demons back down and close that portal to hell and reopen the portal to heaven. We walked the ground, we took communion, we cried out to God to have mercy on our nation. 7 days we were there. There's a pastor and his wife that live up in that area. They came with the ram's horn and blew it on the grounds. Other people, other brethren joined us. My husband's son and I had the upstairs, and another pastor and his wife and their friend were downstairs. And other brethren also came every day. There were different brethren out as they were led by God to join us there. And we walked that ground and cried to God and decreed and declared that the nation would turn back to the Lord of heaven and earth. And we repented for the wickedness and stood against it and cried to God for 7 days, walking the ground, taking communion. As the Lord led us, we repented, we wept, we cried, we pled for our nation, and we stood in the gap for our nation, basically. And I believe that if we did not obey God, now I had asked the Lord, when are we supposed to do this thing? And I said, when Woodstock, on the 8th month, the 15th day, he said, no. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he was 14 days. For 7 days, they feasted. For 7 days, they sacrificed animals. And then for the next 7 days, they rejoiced and they joyed in the Lord. So we didn't have to sacrifice animals because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. But the last 7 days was the time we were up there walking the ground, repenting, when Solomon had dedicated the temple. We were rededicating the nation back to God, crying to him to forgive the wickedness and that. Lately, I find what he has me doing, think about it, normally years ago on Halloween, children would disappear and they'd be sacrificed by these devil worshipers, these children that would vanish. All right, now they're murdering these babies every day to these false gods that are screaming for innocent human blood to be shed. It's false gods behind all this abortion and this demand for innocent human blood to be shed. So I find I, in my prayer time, am binding these principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness and these demonic spirits that are screaming for the shedding of innocent blood. I actually prayed for God's angels to pull these things into outer darkness and torture them like they've tortured these innocent human beings, you know. So anyway, a lot of this binding and loosing, we have that power to do it. God loves us as he loves Jesus. If you read John chapter 17, he's in us. As the Father was in Jesus and Jesus was in the Father and Son are in us, and the Spirit of God is in us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against us will prosper. God has given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing can harm us. I believe
Amen.
That with every fiber of my being.
Amen. But a lot of Christians are afraid.
With the body of Christ, they don't believe they have what God says they have.
Right. That's exactly right.
They need to believe it.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's what, you know, the preaching of the word of God is all about, to build up the faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing, hearing the word of God. Patricia, you're hearing this conversation. It's right up your alley. So go ahead and communicate some of your thoughts about what you're hearing.
Well, I absolutely agree with what I'm hearing. And that is why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I wanted other people to understand and to know what we have been granted by the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, the power that we have been granted. I wanted them to know how to cast out devils. I wanted them to know how to heal the sick and set the captives free, as the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to do, even to raise the dead. And when it comes to these areas such as Hollywood, what I know and understand are there ruling spirits over those areas that need to be bound and rebuked. But many churches are being told not to touch that you'll get in grave trouble with Satan if you do, rather than teaching them the power to do so. But there are ruling spirits over Hollywood that need to be bound and rebuked and cast out. And you need believers in this very deep understanding of spiritual warfare to come together and to begin to bind and rebuke the ruling spirits over Hollywood and the portals that have been opened because of the ruling spirits over Hollywood. And it's growing in momentum as I speak. Satan and his cohorts are now in numbered in a great large number, and what we have to do is gather together more often, rebuke the devil and his workings, understand the power that we have been granted, and not sit back. Instead of that, we go to our knees and pray, which is absolutely a good thing to do, but so do the Hindus and Buddhists pray. What we have to do is that which we have been granted, that victory we have been given, and all of the weapons of warfare that we have understood need to be practiced, but the church will not, for the most part, teach it. And Satan has them in bondage. And then we should start with the churches to be set free, to be loose from erroneous teachings that are not true. And they stay away from these things because they don't believe in the first place that Satan has that kind of power. They think it's all psychological. Well, it's not. It starts with a root, and that root is the root of familiar spirits and generational bloodline curses. They need to learn about it, they need to understand it, and they need to get the victory that they have been granted through Jesus Christ by the shedding of his blood. And we need to speak more and more about it, and I think have more of these programs as an alert.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Kathy.
Amen. Well, I know that God's power is real. In Africa, I saw him heal babies of malaria that were almost dead. They were unconscious. And their moms would hand me these little babies that were unconscious, that were unresponsive that were almost dead of malaria. And I would hold them to my heart, and I would pray for them, and I would rebuke the spirit of death in Jesus' name. I would rebuke the malaria, the fever, the dysentery in the name of Jesus, and speak over those little bodies that they would live and not die and fulfill all their days in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, their little heads would come up, and they'd look around totally healthy and whole. I saw God heal a broken finger in seconds. I saw God put life back into a five-year-old boy. The mother had carried that boy to the meeting many kilometers. The boy had been suffering with malaria and dysentery and fever. She had carried her son, who had been sick for 2 weeks, to the church where I was preaching. And I was preaching on Job chapter 22 or 23, where it talks about if we trust in the Lord, if his word is in us, we can decree a thing and it will be established. The mother was outside screaming, "My boy's dead, he's dead." I ran out there. The Holy Spirit took over me, and I commanded that spirit of death to leave that boy in Jesus' name and spoke over him. In Jesus' name, you will live. You will not die. You will fulfill all your days, and they will not be shortened in the name of Jesus. With that, the boy's eyes opened up. He sat up, and he was totally healed of malaria, fever, and alive, very much alive. So
all right,
God
so
is
Kathy,
faithful, and we just need to believe that we can do these things. Jesus said, greater things will we do now that he's gone to the Father.
All right, so let me
we
ask a question.
We have to believe we can do them and step out in faith and do them.
Yes, we do. Amen to that. Here, I love the fire. So I just want to get this out. You know, I feel like I'm between two of the great intercessors in my life. Kathy, I truly believe that you are a real intercessor and a prayer warrior. And what you're saying is true. And Patricia, obviously, one of the greatest intercessors in my life personally. And I know she prays. And before the Lord, there's a blessing here. So here's the fact, though. Here's the fact. The potential, obviously, in all the testimonies that we hear about all the time, the testimonies we're hearing about right now, the testimonies that we see basically on a daily basis of God's power working in the life of true believers, and yet we still have a hostility within our nation. We have a growing antagonism against Christianity, a growing antagonism against Christ himself and against his people. And we still see those altars of idolatry, and we're going to revisit Woodstock one more time before we get off the air. So our listeners that maybe came in a little late that didn't hear what happened in our country that has never been dealt with. It's never been swept up. It's never been cleaned away. It remains today, these altars of idolatry in our country that are drawing principalities and powers and a lot of strong demonic. We have the potential. And we've gone through the charismatic renewal age. We've gone through the time of the church, you know, showing these types of things charismatically and spiritual warfare. And yet we still seem to be at a loss for what's going on in our nation. Now, lives on an individual basis are being saved and delivered and set free. And we praise God for that. But why are we not seeing this nation transformed once again into the mind of Christ, into a glorious Christian nation? Why aren't we seeing it? Why haven't we seen it? And why do you think we're probably not going to see that until the very end? Your thoughts.
Well, I think if you look at it, they've taken out God and Christ out of the schools, and they replaced God with this lie of evolution, which is an atheist lie. It's a religion of atheism. It's a religion that says there's no God. Everything came about by chance. You were just a pile of chemicals. You just evolved into an ape, and you're a nothing. You're a nobody. You're just an evolved monkey, all right? This lie is what has permeated our society. Now, if you believe your life isn't valuable, if you believe there's no God, which is what they have brainwashed our youth to believe in the colleges and the schools, they've brainwashed them to believe God does not even exist. that everything came about by chance, that there's no real God in heaven that loves them or that created them for a divine plan and purpose. So a lot of the evil we see is a result of this brainwashing. Because if you look at yourself as an evolved monkey, what is the reason for your existence? There is none. How valuable are you if you're just an evolved ape? And then if you're pregnant and you have a baby, how valuable is your baby if it's just a, by chance, evolved monkey? And you look at it, and if you believe you are just an evolved ape, you believe everybody else is just an evolved ape. It's easy to shoot someone if you view them as an ape and not a human made in the image of God, you know?
Amen. Patricia,
so
your
thought is
God, we're not just a bunch of, you know, something that morphed out of nothing, right? I mean, that's so ridiculous.
Absolutely. We certainly are not.
So what about this whole thing, Patricia, from your perspective, why are we still in the condition that we're in? What is the simple, pure answer with all the potential we have, all the power, all the rule, all the right, all the authority? Why have we seen an entire generation of 50, 60, 70 years of things just caving in and collapsing? And why are we seeing such a defeatist situation?
Well, the stage was set at Woodstock, and it embedded within this nation the false accusations toward Christians that they weren't real. And what they had and what they were about to do was, they have been deceived, greatly deceived. And so there has been a great deception that has taken over this nation. We have been bombarded by that spirit. And we were the only ones throughout the world at one time that had the knowledge and truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, not all together, but for a great majority. And it was proven by the blessings that was placed upon this nation. And this nation was so blessed that people from all over the world wanted to be here. And they still do because of the remembrance of such blessings. But what happened is the fault of the church, I believe, because of erroneous teachings. It was taught that there was true spiritual warfare granted to the church and the ability to cast out devils in all of the 2,000 years until this very recent time that we're in right now, that Satan could be bound and cast out, and that there were true and real devils to deal with, not just psychology. So the church has been not only disillusioned with the truth of the matter, but it also had erroneous teachings, and it has not been coping with the true word of God to reveal to the public and to the people within their particular church that there is warfare. Satan is who he says he is, but God is who he says he is, and teach them the very basics that Jesus Christ taught the disciples when he walked the face of the earth. Consequently, we have come into darkness, and when that happens, evil will rule when good people do nothing. They have not been taught properly in the church. Whatever we have been blessed with to know, I believe is by the Holy Spirit. And even that has been questioned within the church.
Amen.
Whether
okay.
or not the Holy Spirit is the empowerment to do these various things we're talking about.
Amen. Okay, very well said. We're just coming down to a little bit of ending up our broadcast today. We've got about 12 minutes left in the program. I've got a friend that's calling in that wants me to ask a question, and I want to get that question out there right now. But before I do, Kathy, what I think is important right now is to let's go over this one more time. Let's go over this one more time. What happened in Woodstock, a place called Bethel, New York, and just take just a couple of minutes and just go through it one more time. Yeah, I know everybody heard of the Woodstock concert, but they don't understand the depth of it. So one more time, just go through it and let our listening audience really get a picture of what was happening at that moment very purposefully and intentionally?
Well, Woodstock was the town where this event was supposed to take place, but actually the witches and Satanists complained and they knew they were going to swing it into Bethel. Bethel means house of God. So they knew that they were going to put this big rebellion against God in a place called Bethel, meaning the house of God. They decided they would defile Bethel, New York, as Jeroboam in the Old Testament defiled Bethel in Israel. What they did was they had all these young people rebel against their parents, rebel against God, rebel against the government, join together, have orgies, have drugs, alcoholism, worship other gods on the property. There were altars to stocks of wood, Woodstock. Even the name Woodstock in the Bible, in Jeremiah 2, they worship stocks of wood. The question is, shall I call a stock of wood my father? God was irate because people were worshiping stones and stocks of wood and trees, groves of trees, the sun, moon, and stars, and all kinds of gods, the queen of heaven, and built altars to all of these fake deities. And they turned their back on him and worshiped other gods. There were altars put all over Bethel, New York, on that ground to worship false gods. There were people from the Mideast bringing their fake Swami stuff into Bethel, New York, meaning the house of God. People were singing songs glorifying witchcraft. Jimi Hendrix sang Voodoo Child. People were bouncing their little children up and down on their shoulders to Voodoo Child. The main theme was rebellion, rebel against everybody. The peace symbol is actually an upside-down cross. If you take the two arms of the peace symbol that are going down and you bring them straight up, you got an upside-down cross. It has nothing to do with peace and everything to do with the demonic realm. I wouldn't even buy anything with a so-called peace symbol on it because they're demonic. It is an upside-down cross. All right, they worshipped Buddha. They worshipped the Zodiac. They worshipped all kinds of gods, the drugs, the alcohol, the lust, the orgies, the perversion. Actually, what they did was they closed the portal to heaven from Bethel, New York, and opened a portal to hell. The rebellion, the Bible says, is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. So the main spirits behind the whole thing were witchcraft, the demonic realm, stubbornness against God, against their parents, against their government, against everything morally right that was right in the sight of God. And they just totally, it was a demonic festival from the get-go. And because it was demonic, and everyone from all the states, from every state came to this rebellious demonic thing, they all got demonized, and they brought those demons of drugs, alcohol addictions, lust, perversion, all witchcraft, sorcery, wizardry, all of it, false god worship. They brought all of the demonic back to every state of the United States, and drug addictions and alcoholisms, and it all increased and escalated since then.
Well said.
So
okay.
Actually, they opened the door to hell. They opened the door to the devil and closed the portal to heaven in Bethel, New York, and defiled Bethel, meaning God's house.
Wow. Absolutely amazing. And I just wonder how this is resonating with people. I mean, if you were to put this conversation on Fox News or CNN or some big outlet of media, and people heard this, what would the mind of the majority think about, you know, Santana playing, what was Santana's song out there? Black Magic Woman or whatever.
Black Magic Woman and Jimi Hendrix playing Voodoo Child.
Yeah. So all this was going on. We know it was a rebellion against God. For a generation, we've heard the scripture, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. We're going to talk about that just before we get off the air, but I've got a call coming in. I want to take this call, and there's a question from one of our listeners on the Blog Talk Radio, and I believe this is coming from 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Kathy or Patricia?
Comment, Pastor, and I'll make it quick because I know you're short of time. The biggest problem, one of the biggest problems that we have seen over the years when we bring a person to the Lord is that they never begin to look at their past. They never begin to look at the family history. Even medicine recognizes this, and as much as one of the first things they do when you come into a doctor's office, take a family history. And they look for diseases and things that have come on down the family lines. Exodus 20 on here, which talks about the Ten Commandments on there, but specifically on 4, it starts to begin to talk about graven images and things of that nature, that you shall not have those things. But verse 5 gets into it, thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Now, that's where Satan has his strength and power, and that's why a lot of Christians today, since they've never gone back and broken those curses, those family curses, are suffering. I'll leave it at that.
True.
All right. Very, very good. Excellent point. And is it possible, Kathy and Patricia, that you know, my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Is it more than prayer that is required? We're talking about the execution of judgment. We have a generation that has ignored an altar, a satanic altar in Bethel. And I, you know, it's so rich when you go back in scriptures and you look at Bethel in the time of the Bible being written and Jeroboam and all of that. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Prayer without action. I mean, isn't prayer the fuel that gives power to the people? I mean, it's one thing to sit down and pray, but do nothing. And the question is, what do you do? And Pastor Ken just brought up an excellent point, and I'm going to leave it to both of you to close this out. He brought up an excellent point. If you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it, but you'll never find out the things that are causing the destruction in your society. Patricia, let me start with you for a minute and a half, and then we'll close out with Kathy.
Very good. Again, I'll repeat that faith without works is dead. You can say, yes, I have faith in Jesus Christ. I even believe in Jesus Christ. But the works that I'm speaking of must follow the faith. In other words, it has to prove that you really do have faith by your works. And so because we have been kept back from doing the very thing that God has called us to do. He called us to set the captives free. He said, what mm-hmm. I do, you shall do also. Even greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father and I send my Holy Spirit unto men. And he taught them what to do, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to open blind eyes, and to cast out devils. That's the freedom from the kingdom of God, our heavenly kingdom, coming to earth within man, and the ability to set people free of their bondage, yeah. No matter what that bondage is. Even if they are dead, they could be raised by faith in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And if you're going to the truth, you are going to start walking a righteous and clean life. You are going to understand that need to do so. It's going to be placed in your heart by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has been quieted and put aside, and grace is preached, and grace is necessary, but it goes about that far, and it doesn't go any further. So what I know is that the language of witches and demons, of spells, and of sage, of cleansing and bad energy, of the star, of the signs, of the times in astrology, has become the religion of the millennial progressives, and we're seeing it grow, and it's getting larger and larger. But we, the remnant who will hear this, become larger and larger. It doesn't mean it has to stay small. It could be a larger part of the whole and still be small. But come on, people of God, let's move in the right direction. Let's go hand in hand and start the war to break forth in the righteousness of God rather than in the power of the evil one, and set the captives free, as many as can, before the rise of the Antichrist.
All right, very good. I appreciate those very powerful words. Kathy, go ahead and finish up our broadcast today. Your final thoughts that you would like to share with the people that have been tuned in this morning.
Well, and the churches, they need to get back to the Word of God. Too many pastors are not even preaching from the Bible. They're preaching their vacations. They're preaching nonsense from the pulpits. They need to get back into the Word of God. They need to teach the people how to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. The authority that they have in Christ Jesus. Sadly, around here, a lot of the churches, if you are Holy Spirit filled, the pastors will not let you preach or teach anything. They will not let you come near their pulpit, and they will not let the congregation be set free of anything that they are in bondage to. They will not let anyone speak messages that will set their congregations free, free from unforgiveness, free from being raped and molested, free from the hurts and pains of their past. They won't allow the Spirit of God to move. And a lot of these pastors, I would have to say woe to them.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Wow.
I've seen too many.
Okay. What a great way to end the broadcast. We have simply run out of time. We're actually over time right now. We've got to get running. We'll revisit the conversation again. We've been on the line with Kathy Hollop today. She's talking about what happened in Woodstock. It's an unfinished business that I believe the church living right now needs to attend to if we want to see some of the glory of God genuinely manifest. If not, it's going to be continual catastrophes. Patricia and I want to salute everybody out there in Radio Land and on YouTube Land. We're going to have to say goodbye. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Daniel Seckham will be joining me from Australia. And Kathy Hollop, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. God bless you. And shalom.
I appreciate
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. God bless. All right, everybody out.